any kids leave, we want to take a few minutes to do some stuff. So, and if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and grab that and turn to Exodus chapter 35. But before we jump into God's Word, before the kids roll out this morning, we get to do a very special thing, and that's commission a new pastor. Here at Exodus, we are of the conviction that the Bible teaches that the local church is to be led by qualified by Jesus men to lead and shepherd the flock of God among them. And so God has called and both qualified my brother Alex Lehman, and he's labored faithfully for as long as he's been here, since really the first or second week, or I think it was the second Sunday. I always forget if it was the first Sunday or the second Sunday, when my man Alex walked up to me and said, "Hey man, just want to let you know, we're here and we're in, and this is where we're going to be. This is our local church, and we're here, dude." And being a church planter, I hear that a fairly significant amount. We would need 7 or 8 gyms at this point to fit all the people in that have said things like that to me. So I was like, "Yeah, man, we'll see what happens." And here my brother is today, getting commissioned as an elder. So Alex and Emily, you guys can come on up, both of you, please. You can bring your girls too if you want. I just want to say a couple things, and then Pastor Joe's going to say a couple things, and then we want to have a moment of just prayer and commissioning over Pastor Alex. So, Alex, man, I for anyone who doesn't know you, I'd love for you just to introduce you. I'm so sorry that I'm messing up this. Somebody, please don't be mad at me. So sorry. That was like legitimately a bad idea. Just tell everybody who you're Alex, obviously. Introduce your family, man.
Hey, guys. I'm Alex. This is my family right here. This is my wife, Emily. This is our oldest, Ellie. And this is our youngest, Julia. And we've been here now for 4-some years or something. I don't know how long ago that was, but we spent quite a bit of time doing this eldership process and sitting with Joe and David and them being very kind to our family. And there's no other church I would love to be a part of. And there's times where we literally sit at home and think, I don't know what we'd do without Exodus. It's awesome. And so just to be standing up here today means a lot to us. And this group of people that I'm looking at right now, you guys are incredible, and we're excited to be here. So I'm going to get all choked up. So I'm just going to hand the mic back.
Give it a Joe. He'll take it. Here we go. Yep. Alex and I just want to say a couple things. Joe's going to say a couple things, and then we're going to pray over you. But I feel like hopefully this is not new information, but I'm just abundantly grateful for both of you. Alex, thanks for just being a faithful man, dude, and for laying your life down to honor Jesus, for pursuing the call, for faithfully pursuing it, not running from it, not being being rightly scared, but not being scared to where you're not pursuing it. And so thanks. Thanks for being faithful, available, and teachable. Thanks for pointing my heart to Jesus. I'm grateful for you, man, and I'm honored to get to serve Jesus alongside of you. And Emily, thanks for being just an amazing wife to this man, and for all of the amazing. We're going to commission Emily in a couple weeks as a deacon of women's ministry because she's stinking awesome. So it's like almost like a combo deal. But today we're going to talk about Alex. We'll get to Emily next week. But Emily, thank you for stepping up in so many ways to serve faithfully here at Exodus. And just the way that you love this man and love these girls and labor tirelessly to do that is an amazing sacrifice, and it looks a lot like Christ Jesus. And so it's an honor, again, just to get to be a brother and a friend and one of the pastors alongside of you guys. So grateful for you. Joe's going to say a couple things, and then we're going to pray.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to give gifts, and then we're going to pray.
Oh, okay. Yes. Alex, yes, thank you so much. Mostly just want to echo what Dave is saying, and just that we're really grateful to have you here, man. And so, first of all, I know how long it's been about a little over 4 years, because it's been a little over 4 years since we've done one of these. And I think the first Sunday you guys were here was the Sunday before that. And it's just, I don't know, man, it's just been a really long time. And I'm really grateful that we get to have this now. I'm really grateful that you are the man that we get to commission and put into this role. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for everything from your poor taste in technology to your faithfulness and dedication to the church. And David's right. I mean, you have been here. You have been in. And we're just really thankful. I'm grateful for you, brother. And Emily, the same. Really grateful for you. Grateful for the way that you've loved on my family and my wife and over the last 4 years. And just to get to be together on mission with you guys is just truly an honor. Really grateful.
You guys have been amazing, and we love you. They've just served in so many ways that are seen and unseen since day one. There's not one single thing that I don't think they haven't done and wouldn't do. And so thank you guys for serving in that way. I got a couple of gifts. I hope I don't. This is for you, and this is for you, my man. You can see what it is on the box here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, man.
Thanks.
So, yeah, brother, you are very, very welcome. So that's kind of heavy. So if you want to put it down and maybe step right over here, and then Pastor Joe and I are going to pray over you guys. If anyone wants to come up and lay hands on Alex and Emily, we'd invite you to do that. Joe's going to pray briefly, and then I'm going to pray briefly to close it out. And we're just going to commission Pastor Alex officially to this work.
All right, let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for my brother Alex, for his family, for their love for you and their desire to serve you and to serve Exodus Church in the role of pastor. God, I thank you for the mission that you have called us to and the opportunity that we have to serve you in the North Charlotte area through Exodus and to glorify your name. God, I thank you that that's our purpose and that we have that privilege and honor of doing that. God, I do thank you for allowing us to commission Alex today and to grow the pastoral leadership of Exodus Church. We just feel, God, just so much your presence with us in bringing Alex to the table and his voice in our meetings and discussions. God, it's really awesome to just see your hand at work in him and to see all that you're doing and to know that you are with us, that you're for us, and that that we are serving your purpose in this community. Thank you so much for that. God, we love you, and we're grateful to serve you in this way. It's in Jesus' name I pray.
God, I'm really grateful for my brother Alex. I'm grateful for your work in his life. We are mostly and abundantly grateful for your work in all of us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, Jesus, that you died in our place for our sin, and that your blood makes us family, and that your resurrection, that you are a resurrected king, that you give us victory and hope, and you give us meaning and purpose, and you give us reason to gather together and to plant churches and to be on mission in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces, and you give us purpose to surrender and give our lives to. Thank you for that. I'm grateful for your faithfulness in this man's life and his obedience and faithfulness to you. You have been abundantly gracious, and we are, as Joe said, have been just blessed by you with this man's obedience and leadership, and pray that you would continue to keep him really, really close to you above all else. I pray that you'd continue to make him a humble, teachable man who lays his life down to serve his bride and yours. God, give him grace to do that every day. Help him to walk in your strength and not his own. Guard him from being puffed up. Keep him humble and holy. In and give him all the grace he needs to serve your people faithfully. And God, I pray that you would give him grace to be a godly husband and an amazing daddy. And thank you for the ways you've already done that. Just continue to keep him on that path of prioritizing his home and his family. And God, use him in ways that only you can. I pray for Ellie and Julia to grow up and know you, love you, and lay their lives down to serve you as well. I do that. Thank you for Emily. I pray you'd keep her real close to you. Thank you for the grace that you've shown her. Thank you for the grace that she is in Alex's life and vice versa. You are good and kind. We celebrate all of these good gifts. Lord, I just pray, lastly, that you would raise up more and more pastors to serve your people so that we can faithfully make disciples and plant more churches to your glorious, for the sake of your glorious name. We love you, Jesus. We need you. Thank you that we get to celebrate this today because of your goodness. You are why we're here. You are why we sing. You are why we celebrate. You are why we commission. We love you. We need you. In your name we pray, Christ. Amen. If you're going to give my man and my lady a squeeze, do it. If you want to send your kids, if you have K through fifth grade kids, you want to head out, send them now. Take a couple minutes, use the potty, grab some coffee. I'll be right back up soon to preach God's word. All right. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. Joe is right. When I was kind of studying this morning, I realized we did a similar series 4 years ago. And on this date 4 years ago, we had just commissioned Pastor Joe. And so, yeah, it's cool that it worked out today. We didn't even realize that. We were like picking out a date with Alex. And then, so it was really neat to see God's hand and his timing and all of it. And I think the sermon today is applicable. As we continue walking through Exodus, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 35. I'm just going to read the first 21 verses, and then we're going to pray and get after it. Everybody say, get after it. I need to know y'all are with me. You sprang forward, all right? And you're all sleepy, I get it. And it's rainy and it's gloomy. And I'm grateful that you're here. And I'm excited about God's word. And so I need you to be excited with me. Can you say, I'm excited with you? Excited. All right, that's good. Exodus, that was really good. I'm proud of y'all. That was strong. Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 through 21. Let's read together. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a generous heart. Let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linens, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests. Verse 20, then all of the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. In verse 22, I'm going to read it. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches, earrings, signet rings, and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you have delivered us out of bondage and slavery to our own selves, primarily to our own sin and wretched hearts, and have redeemed us and called us out and made us your own. You've called us to be your people and to reflect your goodness in the world. What an amazing gift. Thank you that you've been doing it since really before Exodus, but we see it so clearly in this story. What you're doing, Lord, calling out, delivering out, rescuing out a people to have for yourself and reflect your goodness to the world. Lord, I pray this morning as we talk about giving your resources, we would be like the people in this story whose hearts and spirits were stirred to willingly and faithfully give your resources. And Lord, would you call us to be faithful and obedient, sacrificial with our lives, with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. God, help us to trust you, to obey you this morning. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ. Amen. So before I kind of jump into this section, we're in a series, Prayers for Exodus. And before I jump right into the text, I want to kind of catch us up a little bit on where we've been. This is prayer number 9, and this prayer this morning is that we would give God's resources. And so we've talked through lots of other prayers, and we're doing this kind of 30,000-foot view through the book of Exodus. We're not going specifically verse by verse, covering every little detail. We're kind of doing this flyover view, and we've drawn out these 10 prayers that we see in the book of Exodus, and we can also pray for ourselves today. And so again, the prayer this morning is that we would give God's resources. Now, before you go all like, oh, here we are at church and the pastor's talking about money, I think anybody who calls Exodus home would be like, hey, Pastor Dave, like, rarely ever talks about money. This may be the first sermon you've ever actually heard me talk about money. The second thing I would want to say is that we're not afraid to talk about money because the Bible talks about money, and we want to do that faithfully. And then the third thing I would say this morning, we'll get to it quite a bit through the sermon, is that we're not just talking about money this morning. We're talking about giving all of who we are to Jesus. giving all of who we are to Jesus. And so our money is just a small piece of that. Okay, we're going to talk about our time, our talent, and our treasure. But we want to faithfully give all of God's resources for the advancement of God's kingdom, for the advancement of God's mission, for the planting of more churches, for more disciples to be made, for more people that don't know the name and fame of Jesus, who've never heard the good news of Jesus, to hear of the good news of Jesus. We want to faithfully lay our lives down and give the resources that God's first given us back to Him as a sacrificial offering so that more people can know Jesus. That's the sermon in a nutshell. That's what we want to be about as God's people. So the first thing, I'll jump right in this morning. The first thing I want us to see this morning is this, is that God's people give God's resources as a response to all He has done and said. God's people give God's resources as a response to all He has done and said. Now, at this point in the story in Exodus, if you just kind of read Exodus 35, it might be like, hey man, it sounds a little strange that God would command, because He commands God's people to give their gold and silver and jewelry and fine linens in their yard and yarn, all of the things that He commands them to give. You might, if you just read this story in or this chapter in isolation, you might be like, man, that sounds a little greedy of the Lord. Why would He do that and ask the people to give all of this stuff? There's a couple of things going on here. Number one, it's a small part of the big story. And the big story that we know already is that God has a people for Himself. And that we have seen that so clearly on display throughout the book of Exodus. That God goes to great extremes to show off His powerful might and glory and deliver a people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of the oppression of Pharaoh and Egypt and all of the things He delivers them out of. And He said He was going to deliver them so that they might represent Him in the world, so that His glorious name might be known. He said this early on in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, before He delivers them out, He says this, "But for this purpose, I have raised you up." He says this to Pharaoh, "to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So God is at work, and He has, again, His people have gone into Egypt. They've grown to great capacity. The Pharaoh doesn't know the Joseph of old and the patriarchs of old, and he gets a little bit intimidated by God's people and decides to oppress them and enslave them, and things are not going well. God's people cry out. God hears their prayers, and He says, "I'm going to deliver you so that you will be my people, so that my name might be proclaimed and great in all the world." This is what God is doing. He's delivering His people. He's rescued them out of Egypt. We saw through the plagues and then ultimately through the crossing of the Red Sea and the singing and the celebration how God delivered them. Listen to me, church. He delivered them from outside oppression in kind of the first half of the book, outside slavery and oppression and things that have been done to them, right? And like all of us need this. We need to be delivered from things that have been done to us. And then He also, kind of starting in chapter 18 where things go south, after He delivers them and they start making idols, He also delivers them internally from the wickedness and the idolatry of their own hearts. God delivers them from their outside oppression and from their inside idolatrous, wicked hearts. He rescues His people and He continues to pursue them despite their rebellion and rejection of Him. And God's people are called to give God's resources that He's provided as a response to all that He has done. All that He has done. We can trace this theme, this story of God delivering a people for Himself throughout all of Scripture. We can see this throughout all of the Bible. This is what God is doing so that He might be proclaimed as glorious in all of the world. And God is most glorified when we are most and totally submitted to all of Him with all of our lives. It's a paraphrase of something John Piper, Pastor Piper, would say. This is how God is most glorified, and we are most delighting in and submitting to and treasuring Him, submitting our lives to Him This is what the story of redemption is about. And God's people are to give God's resources as a response to all he's done. Okay? So again, you got to get to, this is Exodus 1 through 34. That's all he's done. Right? Because if you just read 35, it's like, it's just all he said. But all he's done and all he said. Because in Exodus 35, God makes it clear that he's commanding his people. Commanding his people in verse 5. It says, take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a generous heart. Verse 4, just before that, this is what the Lord commands. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. He's commanded you to give cheerfully, to give sacrificially, to give in response to all that he has done. So it's both what he's done and what he's said. And so the question is, how are we to give God's resources? And I would say there's lots of things we could say here, but just quickly, we give willingly, obediently, and sacrificially. We give willingly. The text here says in verse 5, whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. Generous hearts come from being served by a generous God. This is where generous hearts come from. Otherwise, our hearts are not generous. We're not just naturally kind of generous people who lay our lives down to serve other people without selfish gain and motive. We don't do that, right? Can I get an amen from anybody? You guys, we don't just naturally lay our lives down to serve others without some type of selfish gain. But when a generous God has showed us his great generosity, namely through the person and work of Jesus, by giving us his own son, by going to the cross and dying in our place for our sin, by revealing to us that our wickedness and our brokenness and our rebellion is ultimately worthy of his due just wrath. But instead of pouring that out on us, he poured it out on his son Jesus. It was perfect, sinless, spotless. Didn't deserve any of it, but died in our place. Generously laid his life down so that you and I might have forgiveness and freedom and hope in him. And we have experienced the generous beauty of our God. Our hearts are changed to where we can't help but be a generous people. And so it's clear we're to give willingly, not out of duty and obligation. Yes, the Lord commands, but he commands that we obey because he's worthy of our obedience, because he's been faithful and generous to us. And we see the people that give here are giving willingly. It says that in verse 21, we just read it. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. This is a willing heart submitted to their redeeming Father. They give willingly. They give obediently because God's commanded it. And then they give sacrificially. They're in the stinking desert. I don't know if you know this or not, but they're wandering around in the wilderness. They're in the desert. Things, like they can't just run to Walmart, right? Like they can't just run. I need a couple things this morning. Running around a little crazy, trying to get the family here. We're all here together by God's grace and the amazing superpowers of my wife. We're all here together this morning. But we had forgot a couple of things. And when I say we, what I mean is me, had forgot a couple of things on the way. And so we had to like just run to the store and get a couple of things. You can't just do that in the desert, right? Like you can't just run to the store and get what you need for dinner. You can't go get takeout. Like you, that's not an option. They're in the desert. Resources are limited. They sacrificially bring all that God calls them, and asks them, and they give willingly, obediently, sacrificially. God's people give God's resources as a response to all he has done and said. Secondly, we see here in the story that God's people give God's resources wholly. Wholly. It's on the screen. So not H-O-L-Y, like wholly, but wholly, completely, fully, totally. It's not just about dollar bills, cash dollar bills this morning, all right? Say it ain't just about cash dollar bills. Can you say that? All right, that's a lot. That's a mouthful. say, never mind. All right, so it's not just about cash dollar bills, okay? It's not just about that. When we're talking about giving God's resources, I think this is one of the primary mistakes that we can think about. Now, it's not less than, right? Like, God's calling them to bring your gold, bring your silver, bring the things that are valuable. It's certainly not less than cash dollar bills or checks or money or Venmo or however you do your thing these days. My kids probably won't even know what cash dollar bills are. It's about a holistic submission of giving all of God's resources to further the mission of God being made glorious and beautiful in the world. So, like, God is redeeming a people for himself in the Exodus story so that he can dwell with them, he can be their God, they can be his people, and they can show off to the world what God is like, who he is, how he functions, how he redeems and saves and calls people out of living a life for themselves and trusting in him. And the part of the primary way he was doing that in Exodus was through the tabernacle. It's kind of the picture of God dwelling with his people. And so they're giving to build a tabernacle to show who God is and what he's like, in part that he desires to dwell with his people. And this is what the world needs to know. God with us, right? This is the Christmas story that we celebrate all year long. God came to John 1:1, tabernacle among us. He dwelt with us. He tabernacled among us. This is the idea that Jesus brings that's coming out of the story of Exodus when they build the tabernacle. So God is dwelling with his people. He is their God. He's with them. He's for them because he's gracious and kind. And they're giving all of who they are wholly and completely so that God can be known throughout the world. God's people give God's resources wholly. And so we talk about this a decent amount, giving in three ways. So how do we give? Was willingly, obediently, sacrificially. What do we give? We give our time, our talent, and our treasure. We give our time, our talent, and our treasure. The thing, before I jump into those kind of three points, the thing that's important to remember here is that God is the one who has provided everything that the people in the story have. Even though resources are limited, God is the one who gave them everything they have. Right? It's his breath in their lungs. And then God is the one who said to them, I'm going to, when you roll out of Egypt, you're going to plunder the Egyptians. You're going to take from them all of these things. They're going to willingly give you this gold and the silver and all this stuff. And then guess what happened? When they rolled out of Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. God gave them all the resources they had. Don't believe me? Just look back at Exodus chapter 3 real quick. God says, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. Talking about Pharaoh. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold and jewelry and for clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. And then in Exodus 12, as they're rolling out, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. The people of Israel, in verse 35 of chapter 12, had also done as Moses told them. For they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have what they asked. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. God provided all of these resources. And so God's people give God's resources wholly. We give our time, our talent, and our treasure. We see here in the story that they're not just called to kind of give all of their stuff, if that's the treasure piece. They're also called to give their talent. He says in verse 25, we didn't read it earlier, so I'll start there. He says in verse 25, and every skillful woman spun with her hands.
They all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twilled linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and the breastpiece. And all the men of, verse 29, all the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work of the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. And then, in verses 30 of chapter 35, basically through chapter 7 of chapter 36, Moses talks about Bezalel and Oliab, right? These two guys that are raised up with talents and skills and craft, and he says, everybody who has skill and talent and craft, bring it to the table to build the tabernacle. So it's your talent that God's given you. And you didn't just wake up with those talents, right? Like, there are some things about people working hard. We'll use basketball for a minute because it's basketball season and I kind of like basketball. So, like, there are some things about, my kids played basketball for the first year this year. Or when I say my kids, Gideon and Lucy got to play. And man, I don't know if you guys know this about Gideon, but he's little. Like, he's just a little fellow, okay? And he's not just little because he's four. He's little, like, for his size and for his kind of age group. And so he's out there. He's the littlest dude on the court for the most part. I think there's, like, one other kid that was littler than him. Is littler a word? I don't think it is. But nonetheless, there's one other kid that's littler than him. It's going to be a word today. And my man Gideon has his 8-foot goals, and he can only get it about halfway up there. So he can't really shoot and score the bucket, all right? He can't do it. And here's the thing. He doesn't have a lot of just raw, at least not at four. He doesn't have, like, just a lot of raw gifts and talents and abilities. He ain't tall. His muscles apparently aren't developed enough to throw it to the hoop. Like, he just doesn't have a lot going for him kind of naturally by way of talent. Right, but LeBron James, I don't care what you think about him, he's just, he's 6'8", 260. And he will yam on your face because he's just, like, you can't teach that. God blessed him with talent that he didn't have to work for. He didn't just wake up and go, like, oh, I'm going to grow tall, right? God gave him that and those natural skills play. So God gives skills. There's certain people here that we see in the text that God specifically gives skills to work with their hands, to build and to erect the tabernacle. And God calls his people to give themselves wholly, their treasure, their talent, and then their time. Their time. They have to go and give of their time to serve, to build this tabernacle. God calls, and God's people give God's resources wholly. And then thirdly and lastly, and this is where I guess the application is, God's people continue to give God's resources today. So we saw in the story that God's people give out of a response, and then that God's people give wholly, right? So they give their time, talent, and treasure. And today, the beauty of what we get to be a part of as disciple makers and church planners and disciples of Jesus is that the mission of God continues to advance. It continues to advance through the faithfulness of God's people to give God's resources. That's how the mission of God continues to advance. It's not that God needs us. It's not that he's needy and whiny and is begging. It's that he invites us in to play a role in his story of redeeming people back to himself. And the way that he works is through his people faithfully and obediently, after being saved by a generous God, having their hearts changed to be generous and give of their time, talent, and treasure. God's people continue to give God's resources today. God in the Exodus story was delivering his people out with a strong hand to show his might and his glory to the world. God continues to deliver people out of bondage and slavery, of things that have happened to them and their own idolatry today. This is why we're here. This is why we gather. This is why we proclaim the gospel. This is why we share the good news with people. It's because we know that God still wants to deliver people out of whatever proverbial or realistic slavery they're in. God wants to do this. This is what He's about. And so as His people, we get to continue to give His resources that He's given us so that the mission of God would continue to advance. God is still calling His people to surrender their lives to accomplish His mission in the world. It's not anywhere more clear than the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. God says clearly all authority. Jesus, after raising from the grave, getting Himself up out of the grave, calls His disciples up to the mountain before He ascends to heaven and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Me. Therefore, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. This clear, compelling call to go, to lay your life down, to see disciples made, to see churches planted, to see the kingdom of God advanced. The call of Jesus on our lives is to follow Him. You can read the New Testament Gospels over and over again. Jesus says, follow Me. Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Follow Me. He says, don't seek after the things of the world. If you gain the world and lose your life, it's not good. But if you have Me, you have it all. He talks about the kingdom of God like finding a treasure in a field. You find this treasure in the field. This is the most valuable thing in all of the world. I gotta have it. And so you sell everything that you have to go buy the whole stinking field so you can have a treasure. This is the holistic idea. And Jesus is hammering home over and over again throughout the Gospels that the call is to follow Him completely and totally with all of our lives, surrendered totally to Him. God's people continue to give God's resources today. If we are to be all that God has for us to be, it will mean that all of God's people lay their lives down to follow Christ and give of their time, talent, and treasure to the mission of God within the local church, wherever God has called you to be. We long to be, continue to long to be. We're seeing God move and work in so many different ways. We long to be a growing, diverse group of people who are on mission together in community, laying our lives down to see Jesus' gospel go forward to our neighbors, coworkers, family, and friends. There's so much debate. Go back to basketball for one more second. There's so much debate about LeBron versus MJ. Raise your hand if you don't know who LeBron James is. Raise your hand if you don't know who Michael Jordan is. It's really good. I don't have to excommunicate anybody today. I'm sorry, that was too over the top. You would not be excommunicated for not knowing MJ or LeBron. We just probably couldn't be friends. But you don't have to like either one of them. But you know that there's like a debate. Some people are like, there's no debate at all. One's better than the other. There's no debate. It doesn't matter. The debate is around who's the GOAT, all right? Who's the greatest of all time? Who is it? Is it Michael? Is it LeBron? Is it Kobe? Why is Kobe not in the conversation? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Why is he not in there? So much debate around who's the greatest of all time. And it got hyped up this past week. If you follow basketball at all, you don't have to. But if you follow basketball at all, it got hyped up this week because LeBron passed MJ on the scoring, all-time scoring list. It took him quite a bit longer, but he passed him on the scoring list. And people are super, super angry on either side. Who's the greatest of all time? And to watch people's loyalty to me, to like a basketball player, You know what I'm saying? The dude bounces a ball for a living. That's not to negate his amazing work of God. It's just like you're following and you're arguing. You're like angry. Dudes at the gym are mad about life, debating this topic. This might be a horrible illustration, but people are going to lay their lives down and fight for who's the greatest of all time. Argue in the gym and on Facebook and social media and everywhere else. Like holistically. Giving their money to support, right? Whose shoes they wear and what clothes they wear. Jesus is clearly and stands supreme as the greatest of all time in every single category there ever was. And as his people who have been redeemed by him, we are called to give holistically of our time, talent, and treasure to promote him as the only true goat. It's actually a sacrificial lamb, but like that's who he is. We're called to promote him, to be his biggest cheerleaders, to fight about it in a good way with the dudes in the gym, the ladies at work, or the family around the table. There's only one worth giving your life to. There's only one worth fighting about and arguing over. It's not MJ and it's not LeBron. It's Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb of the world who died so that you and I might live. We lay our lives down and give God's resources because we've been given so much. This is how God's gracious, glorious good news is advanced. By God's people laying down their lives, their time, talent, and treasure to advance the mission in this world. It's all his. We're simply stewards. We are stewards. There's so much good gospel work to be done, church. So much. And I would submit to you that Jesus alone is worthy of submitting the entirety of your life to because of his gracious generosity to us. We want to continue to see this congregation grow into a reflection of God's kingdom here on earth. We want to see more men and women raised up to lead as pastors and deacons. We want to see more community group leaders raised up. We want to see more people that are passionate about teaching, singing, and fellowshipping. And we want to see God grant more babies and more grandparents and more aunts and uncles and more great-grandparents. And we want to see God continue to use us to plant more churches that plant more churches to the ends of the earth. We want to see all of this. And it will happen when God's people faithfully, totally, completely, obediently submit all of who they are to Jesus in response to all that he has done. We give God's resources because of this. And so I got one question for us this morning, and that's this. How do you need to respond to all God has done and said today? I talk about this fairly often, but like, I think it's good to kind of live in the present with the Lord. So I think there's a temptation to think a lot about how God has worked and how you've kind of submitted to him in the past in your life. I want to call you to consider today, to reevaluate today, like, where your life is at, where your world is at, where have you become kind of clingy to the things of this world, or maybe you're more, I'm not opposed to a 401k retirement plan. I think there's wisdom in that. Can we just get it on the table? But like where you're more concerned about how much money you have when you retire than you do with how much you can give to God's advancement here, now, and today. When you're concerned with how much time and energy you put forth in different things in your world versus laying your life down to serve God's kingdom advancing purposes. What are you saying yes to now that you should probably be saying no to? What are you not saying yes to that you probably should be? How do you need to respond to all God has done and said today? This happens when we are a gospel people. When we understand all God has done, we willingly lay our lives down. I think this works fairly well in a good marriage. We can see this on display. That's part of the reason I think marriage is such a great gift. It's certainly not the most amazing gift ever. The gospel is, but it's a cool picture of God's grace. And my wife and I got to celebrate 9 years of marriage this week. It was hard to celebrate with a 5-week-old baby. It's hard to celebrate anything really great other than the 5-week-old baby that God was gracious to give. It's amazing. And when I say it, I mean he, Judah, Beacon, Keen is amazing. We got to celebrate this week. And man, I talk about my wife a decent amount because I love her like crazy. But I think that the illustration is that she lays her life down to faithfully serve and sacrifice me and our kids, not out of obligation and duty, right? But as a response, as a loving response, certainly to all God has done, but hopefully to the love that as well I'm showing to her and vice versa. And so all the midnight feedings and the 3 a.m. feedings and the 2 a.m. feedings and the 5 a.m. feedings and all the ways that she lays her life down is not out of dutiful obligation. Yes, little buddy's got to eat, right? There's like a duty in it. But it's because she's driven and motivated by the love of our Savior to lay her life down to serve his people. And hopefully she sees that same motivation in us, particularly in me, and hopefully in our kids as they grow older as well, when we return the favor. If we're going to give God's resources, God wants us to give them willingly, obediently, and sacrificially, and holistically. We're to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. How do you need to respond to all God has done and said in your world today? How do you need to submit to Jesus? Where do you need to commit maybe to serving more in the local church? You know, this is not a guilt trip for anyone. Where do you need to evaluate how God is calling you to serve? We need more community group leaders. We need more faithful folks all over. There's so many different places people can serve and lay their lives down. Maybe God's calling you to pastor. How do you need to submit to that in your world today? Let's pray together. God, we love you. We need you. Thank you for being gracious and good to us. Thank you that we give our resources because you have given so much to us. Lord, I pray that we would as a people respond appropriately to you. That we would be reminded today of all that you've done, all that you've delivered us out of, both externally and internally, and that you continue to pursue our broken hearts and make them whole. Thank you for that. I pray this morning that no one in here would be motivated out of guilt and shame to do anything in response to you, but they'd be motivated out of a response to your faithful, sacrificial, generous love and grace toward them. Lord, I pray that we would see you rightly, we'd see all that you've done rightly for us and all that you've commanded. We would lay our lives down to serve you and to give your resources, to give willingly, obediently, and sacrificially, and to give holistically of our time, talent, and treasure. Show us where we need to submit to you today. If there's an area of our life where we're not holistically running hard after you and the advancement of your kingdom, would you show us that? Give us grace to navigate so many of the kind of gray areas of life. Give us grace upon grace. Give us wisdom to know what to invest in, what not. Help us, Lord, know how to advance your kingdom most effectively and faithfully. I do pray you'd raise up more leaders, co-laborers, that you'd send more laborers to join us and go with us into the harvest that is plentiful with few laborers. I pray you'd raise up more men and women to lead in all different capacities within this congregation. Lastly, I pray that you'd save, that you'd deliver, that you would rescue and redeem, that you would call people out of darkness and into your marvelous light. God, let us see that over and over again. Thank you, Lord, for the ways that you've provided for us so faithfully. Thank you for the people that have laid down their lives and continue to do so for the advancement of your kingdom. I pray they'd be encouraged today to continue, that their labor is worth it because you're worth it. We need you desperately. We ask all of it in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. So now we'll respond to the Lord in a few specific ways. First, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to sing songs that are true about our great God. And the hope is that our affections would be stirred for Christ. That we would worship him fully. We would surrender, as Carl talked about earlier. We would surrender certainly with our hands as an outward expression, but more importantly with our hearts, that we would lay our lives down and walk out of here throughout this week and the next, just to submit to Jesus. So we want to sing songs, surrender to Jesus. And then secondly, when you're ready, if you're a follower of Jesus, we would invite you to come and take the bread and dip it in the cup. I think it's crackers, but the bread or the crackers, whatever it is, dip it in the cup. Remember Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed so that you and I might have life. Remember the generosity of our great God. Remember that everything we have has been given to us by this generous God so that we can in turn give generously to see his kingdom advance, to see his name made glorious in this world. Remember that as you and I take communion this morning. Thirdly, if you're in here and you have kids, I would encourage you to go grab them and bring them back as soon as possible so you can worship together as a family unit. And fourthly, if you want to give during this time, if you want to give of your treasure, of your dollar bills or checks or whatever you do, do so this morning as a cheerful response to all that God has done and all that he said. All that he's done and all that he said, give faithfully, cheerfully, sacrificially, obediently to him this morning. And then lastly, I'll be standing in the back. I'd love to talk with any of you about what it means to follow this generous God, what it means to submit your life wholly and completely to Jesus, what it means to repent and turn from your sin and wickedness and hope in him alone. My hope is that we would all trust Jesus, lay our lives down, submit to him, give his resources generously and graciously. Let's continue to worship Jesus now.
You guys stand with